There they are.
Go get them.
Okay. So good morning, and thank you, Andrew, for sharing this invitation with the so I can come and speak to the congregation. First of all, I want to give you those that didn't come to the retreat, those men that weren't allowed, I'm sorry. But the theme was flourishing. And so I just felt that our lives could be portrayed in gardens. So these were kind of life gardens. So the first one over here is flourishing. It is blooming. It's growing. It's nurtured because there's a master gardener involved. And that master gardener is God. God has been invited into that life, and he's working. The second garden over here is our work in progress garden. The blooms aren't as big, and there's a few weeds that need to be dealt with. But the master gardener is there, and he is working 24/7, 365. And this garden is a labor of his love. And this is the garden that I relate to the most because I am got a few weeds, and I need to be worked on really bad. The third garden, I had the cross covered so that you couldn't see it. So this garden was our dry, parched garden. So this is the life that hadn't invited Christ to work in their lives. And they're just a weedy mess. You know, they have so many weeds. There's nothing good growing there. There's just no viable garden. And so we prayed and we asked God to come into that life. And that's when I took the cover down from the cross. And now the master gardener is invited in to work. And you can see there's a little bit of green, and God is starting to work in that garden. And it's not an instantaneous green. It's a slow grow, but it is growing. So I have to tell you, the retreat was amazing. It was just so good to see how God choreographed the whole thing. You know, we never got together and said, okay, I want you to say this, and you say this, and you say this, and it's all going to work together. No, we just said, okay, you share your testimony, you share your testimony, you share your testimony. I'll fill in with what God's giving me, and the music, oh, you know, you sing this and you sing not. No, everything, God choreographed the whole thing, and it was just amazing. You know, the music, the theme, everything. And it was so exciting to see these women step out in faith and share. I knew some of their stories, and I knew they would be very impactful on the women as a whole. And they were. And God didn't let us down at all. And I know that if no one else grew from this retreat, that the women who stepped out and shared their testimonies, they would grow immensely as they shared. So I want to tell you now that I'm starting, this is not a me thing because I'm an introvert. You know, I don't speak in front of women, let alone men. So, sorry, I don't even speak to my husband. No, I do. But I'm not a trained pastor. I'm not a speaker. I'm just a grandma, a stay-at-home grandma, and I'm a seamstress, so I get to work from home and take care and raise our grandson. John and I tag team, so when he gets home, I say, tag, you're it, and I get to go sew. But I'm sharing this morning as a step of faith that God has led me to, and he's been growing me a lot over the last few years as we come to this church. I now lead a women's group on Thursday night. I work with the prayer ministry, which, you know, pastor just encouraged me years ago. I'm like, sorry, I don't pray in front of people. I don't open my mouth and pray. I don't know what to say. But God just, you know, the first couple of times I came up, I was with Megan, and we were tag teaming, and she did all the praying, and I'd just say, yes, Lord, great, great, go, you go, you know. But then one week she didn't show up, and I'm like, oh, Lord, what am I doing up here? Please don't send anybody up today. But, you know, I got over that, and I just said, okay, Lord, you know, this scares me. I don't know what to pray, but I'm just going to trust you that you know what each person needs. So I'm just going to open my mouth in obedience to you and just let you do the praying. And it is so encouraging to pray with people and have them come back and say, how did you know I was going through? So I didn't. It wasn't me. Talk to the man upstairs. He knows everything. But, you know, to see God work through that, and he touches people's lives, and he answers prayer, and he works through them, it's just encouraging. And I just thank God for that ministry. And thank you, Pastor, for heading me in that direction. And I also have a passion with sewing and crafting. And I have, I've never been to art school or anything like that, or graphic design, but I love to decorate. Not my house, but I love to do this kind of stuff. So I've been doing this for the last year and a half, is decorating the sanctuary for the different services. So before we came to Columbia Grove, I worked in other churches, but mostly I worked in Sunday school, with kids' church, vacation Bible school, which was a hoot. And this women's retreat was kind of like vacation Bible school for women. It was great. But I never taught adults, and I just never thought I knew enough, even though I was raised in the church at a young age. I never had confidence in myself, but I know that what I was lacking was confidence in God to use me, that he would want to use me. But, you know, in the Bible, you see time and time again that God uses the weak to show his power. So a pastor told me recently that if I'm a believer and if I have the Holy Spirit leading and directing me, that that's all I needed to share and teach. So here goes. I'm trusting in the Lord with all my heart and leaning not on my own understanding. Besides, it's not my work, but him working through me. Before I start, I like to share and thank with Andrew. Thank him for his message last week. It really helped me to focus on the fact that I have a helper in time of need who is with me always. Remember last week, we learned that the Holy Spirit is with me always. We have a helper. I'd like to thank everyone who has prayed for me over the last several weeks. That's given me great peace as I prepared to share at both the women's retreat and here this morning. In fact, I had such great peace, I was worried I had too much. And it's like, wait a second, this just doesn't seem right. I'm not really nervous. So I find it a God thing that this first session that we had yesterday morning was in John. And the church happens to be doing a series on John. So it was just kind of made for me to just walk in and say, I'm going to share my first session. So it's great. God has a plan. Thank you, Lord. So we want to start with reading. It's John 15, 1 through 17. And I'm reading from the New American Standard. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, so it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. This is my command, that you love one another. Now, I noticed in the passage that the word abide was used like 10 times. So obviously that must mean it's important, right? So the focus for this message is to abide. In verse 1, we see Jesus is the true vine and God is the vine dresser. Or in our case, we used the term master gardener. And he's in charge and he has a plan and a vision for your life, your life garden. In this text, we are seen as the branches, and we are to abide in the vine. So what exactly does it mean to abide? I looked it up in the dictionary, and it says abide means to remain stable, fixed, stand fast, and not wander off. How many of us tend to wander off? You know, I'm just pictured a little kid, you know, our grandson, he's 2. He tends to wander off, you know. Ooh, that's a nice shiny thing. Ooh, there's a toy over there. You know, he's constantly wandering. And that's, you know, God wants us to abide and not wander off to the next shiny whatever. So in John, let's see, I'm losing my place. So anyways, I wanted to look in the Bible, you know, where is it written about abiding? So in 1 John 4:15, it says that whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So here we see that to abide in Christ, we must believe that he is the Son of God. Next, we must receive him as Savior and Lord. In John 1:12, it says that as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Then we must do what God says. We got to do it. In 1 John 3:24, it says that the one who keeps his commandments abides in him and he in him. We know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given. That's his Holy Spirit. And then the next is we must continue to believe that we must live out that in our lives. In 1 John 2:24, it says, as for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. So it's continual. If what you hear from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. So otherwise, you know, keep abiding. It's an everyday thing. It's not a one-time event. It's a continual event. It's a, you know, like the garden over here, it's a 24/7, 365, it's a continual thing. And finally, we must relate to in love to the community of believers, you know, the bodies of Christ, our brothers and sisters. I use sisters, but we'll include the brothers this time. In John 15:12, it says, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. We are to encourage, support, and pray for one another and show the love of Jesus, love like Jesus. So we see that abide means to be stable, to not wander off. And God really wants us to be grafted in to his life. And grafting is more permanent. You know, you're there. You grow together. So my question is, are you abiding in Christ? So I'm a visual learner, so I like to use visuals. to, and we're going to talk about the concept of abiding. So I have this plant in my hand, and it looks kind of, doesn't look like a plant. It looks like a dried up, I don't know. It's all over my paperwork. So is this what you look like to God? Do you feel like this? Do you feel dead, dried up, useless? If I found this in my yard when I was gardening, I'd probably toss it out. But if we put ourselves, this plant represents us, in God's hands, who's the giver of life, and abide in him, he causes us to grow. So as I put this plant in water, and this is the living water, so now, I poured it, the plant is abiding in the water. But the water then is taken up through the roots so that the water abides in the plant. Just like us with Jesus, we abide in Jesus, then his Holy Spirit abides in us. Within hours, this plant will start to green up, it'll open up, it'll grow, but only if it remains in the life-giving water. And this growth is not instant, it's just not poof green, but slowly over 2 hours, it'll start to open, and it'll start to green up. But one thing I've noticed is when the plant was growing, and after it had been there for like a week, that it had started to green up from the center of the plant, from the heart of the plant. And that's where God really works on us. You know, when we invite him into our life, he starts changing us and greening us up from the heart outwards. So if this is taken out of the water, it dries up to its original state. It will no longer be growing. So we too must remain in this life-giving water by being in Christ 24/7, 365. And in that way, he can grow us and ultimately to flourish us. But how can we do that? How can I do that? I can't possibly be abiding with Christ 24/7, 365. I have too much to do. I have a grandson to run after. I have sewing to do. I have a husband to take care of. I don't have time to do this 24/7, 365. But can we? Can I? I didn't think it was possible, but it's not me. It's God working in me. In abiding in him, he abides in us in his Holy Spirit. So I find myself waking in the middle of the night with a verse in my head or a truth from a worship song running through my mind on repeat. Similar to a couple weeks ago, I told the ladies, I had this melody going through my head in the middle of the night, and I just couldn't place it. I knew I heard it somewhere, but I didn't hear it on the radio, and I don't know where it came from until it got to the chorus where it says, I'm flourishing, and I knew that was our theme song, and I just rested in that. God's got this covered. It was awesome, but with that, it just gave me great peace and joy, and that's God with me and in me. So we can abide 24/7, 365, because God gives us that ability through his Holy Spirit. So start small. I hear that Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither can a relationship. And that's what it is. It's a relationship with our God and Savior. Start in prayer, Bible reading, listening to worship music, and in fellowship with other believers, either in a connection group, a life group, taking a walk, with your spouse, with a friend, having dinner together, grabbing a cup of coffee, just fellowshipping. So what would this plant look like if we only put it in the water, say, 20 minutes a week when we're at church? Wouldn't do much, would it? Because it actually took over an hour for it to start moving. So that's not going to do any good. Would it be any different with, say, 5 minutes a day in the Word? Is it going to go anywhere? No, it wouldn't grow to its full potential, and neither will we if we're only fed on God's Word 20 minutes a week or 5 minutes a day. So abiding is a choice. It's not automatic. The Holy Spirit may be in us, but the busyness of the world and its worries can drown out his voice. It takes practice to tune our ears to him. So find some quiet place and just listen for his voice. He's there, and he will make himself known. But we must choose to abide in him and trust him for our growth. I know I don't always abide in Christ as I should, and I go through some seasons of drought when the busyness of the world overtakes me. Like I said, like caring for our grandson, working in my small business sewing, taking care of the house and the husband, and cooking meals. I lose my focus on Christ, and when this happens, I feel lost. I've lost that connection. Something's unplugged. I'm in a fog. I feel like I'm dry. I'm drying up. I'm thirsty. I'm yearning to be watered. And I often can't put my finger on why I feel this way. But then, when I reconnect, I get some more water in me, reconnect by reading his word, praying, listening to worship music, and listening to him in those quiet moments, just being quiet and listening, then I'm rejuvenated. I'm watered in his life-giving water again. We need to remember that abiding is a choice. It's an action. It's not automatic. We must choose to rest in him, listen, and obey. It's like a child holding the hand of his father, his heavenly father. I had a picture of this with my husband John as he was walking hand in hand with our grandson recently. And God will hold our hand and guide us, protect us, provide and grow us. But we must reach up and put our hand in his and not wander off. If you're unsure of your relationship with Christ and would like to invite him into your life so that you can abide in him and he in you, please join me in prayer. You bow your heads and repeat after me, please. Lord Jesus, come into my life that I may abide in you and you in me. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me and grow me into the person you have created me to be. Thank you for grafting me into the true vine and making me a part of your family. Amen. Thank you. If this is the first time you've prayed this prayer, I encourage you to share this good news with someone, either a pastor, a friend, or myself. Oh, and happy birthday. You're now part of the family of God. And if the enemy tells you that you're not, and he will, you can tell him that you accepted Christ March 1st, 2020. And as I reflected on that date, I just thought of this. It's like you now have perfect 2020 vision of the 3-in-1. Can you get that? 3-in-1. So remember that abiding is a choice to tune your ears to the Holy Spirit and follow his leading. Obey, and he will grow you in new areas of your life you might never expect, like sharing a message on Sunday. Thank you again for allowing me to share this message with you this morning. And I'd like to invite the worship team up. They're going to lead us in another song. Thank you.